Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, and if you will take your Bible, you'll have the outline for the lesson as it lays before you in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. And think about this. See what it is that the Lord is telling us. Well, we individually need to figure out how to make this apply to our life. There's facts to be believed, and commands to be obeyed, and promises to be received. It's a good way to sum up the gist of the gospel. But there's something else to it. And you don't want to hear that and get to think that, well, then Christianity means that there's a body of doctrine that I have to accept, and then there's a ritual I go through, and that makes me a Christian. All Christianity has to do with a life to live as well. And that's what Paul is going to begin talking about here in the book of Ephesians, how we live our lives. And it's so easy to get caught up in just the way that the world is going and go along with that and let that be the guide for our lives. But we've got the best possible guide for how to live our lives written in this book. And that's where Paul's headed with this lesson. Paul's going to say in this that we need to put off the old man and put on the new. But he's also going to say, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, but renew the spirit of your mind. I'll go ahead and mention it now. We're talking about being a Christian. There are do's and don'ts to being a Christian. In fact, I've got a nice little book called Do's and Don'ts of Being a Christian. That's good things to know about things we ought to do and things we ought not to do. But first, before we get to those do's and don'ts, the gospel gives us a different way to think. The Bible changes man from the inside out. And it dwells first with what is in our minds. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore. That tells you, he's been talking about something. But as we go through this, remember what Paul has done. He's talked about the blessings of being a Christian. And he wants them to know and understand and see and perceive with their heart what it means to be a Christian. And then following that, he begins in chapter 4 and saying, therefore, I tell you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called. And the things he's talking about there really have to do with how the church ought to be, how we ought to live together as a church, and in humbleness toward one another, having the unity of things in the faith, and of building one another up in love. And now he's going further in progression of his thought. For what it is to be God's church, to how it is to be God's church, how God's church ought to be. And now he's going to talk about how we as individuals ought to live. This is the point where people say, now preacher, you stop preaching and you started meddling. And that's what Paul is going to do here. In fact, after this lesson, we're going to see he gets to some very specific things that we ought to do and not to do. And he also starts discussing specific relationships that we get in and how to govern those. So it's going to give us some specific things on how to live. But it begins on admonishing us on how to think and what is in our mind. This I say therefore, and then he says this, and testify to the Lord. Now why would he say that he is testifying? Well, in the Lord. Why would he say he's testifying in the Lord? We should never forget then when we're reading the writings of Paul, we're reading the things that Paul has been given by the Holy Spirit. Which things I speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches. That's what he says to the book to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians. And so these are the things from God. Don't get the idea that, well, now this is Paul's opinion. This is what Paul thinks. This is what Paul is communicating to us from what God Himself thinks. And so it's another affirmation of inspiration that gives authority to these words so that we can only dismiss them at our own peril. This I say, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Why would it say that ye henceforth not do this? Well, it's because they didn't used to walk this way. The way they'd been walking was as the other Gentiles walk. But now these Gentiles have become Christians, and they're to change the way that they walk. A lot of times I hear it said, well, people won't change. Well, that's not so. Now, I'll tell you what is so. You can't change people. That's true. You can't change people. But people do change. People change when they want to change. And it's up for individuals to determine how they themselves are going to change. And what we want to do is preach the gospel and preach what God says how we ought to, in hopes that this penetrates the hearts and these people decide to change. Now, you can't change people, but people can change. And He's telling them now that you need to change from henceforth, not walk as other Gentiles walk. Now, those other Gentiles are those Gentiles that haven't become Christians. You see, there's the Christians, and then there are the others. He's writing to the saints in Jesus Christ and the faithful in Christ Jesus. But there's others in Ephesus that have not accepted the gospel. They're the other Gentiles. And to walk means how to live. So don't live like all of those that are not members of the church are living. Don't live like the world is living. Here's what it says about those other Gentiles. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember, that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's how they were. From henceforth, that's not how you are. So walk worthy of that vocation where you're called. It's going to call for a change of life. Here's how they were living in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But henceforth, don't walk like that. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, vain means empty. It's without profit. It has to do with how we think. He's teaching the same thing that he taught the church at Rome in Romans 12, 1 and 2, when it said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those things that you have in your mind are the things that determine how you live. Now you might think, well, you know, the Lord talked about that. He says not to commit fornication, but first he said don't lust, not to kill your brother, but first don't hate. But it even goes beyond that. Sometimes we talk about it as a world view. And those very basic assumptions about what is this world like, and what is God, and who is God, and what does He expect out of me, and what is my role before Him? All of these things in the mind will determine how we walk. And a lot of people are walking in the vanity of their mind. David said in Psalm 119, 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And so these thoughts of vanity are the thoughts that come from elsewhere other than out of the Bible. Remember how Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit doth it a man of all that he partaketh under the sun? And what had Solomon done? He had applied his wisdom to try to find out what's the best way in this world to live. And he considered things under the sun. He considered material things, earthly things, worldly things, sensual things, pleasurable things. And he found it to be useless. And so walk not in the vanity of your mind. Jesus said this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears they have, and their eyes they have closed, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and be converted, and I should heal them. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. That's not a good way to live. People to live this way and have these false views of God and false views of the world and false views of who they are and how to live, they're not happy people. That they're going after things that are deceitful. This passage is going to talk about deceitful lust. And it promises all this joy, but it's not there. It is unfulfilled. And so God in His grace and mercy is showing us not to be deceived by these vain things and not to walk in that manner. Now here's some of the vanities that people live by. Take atheism, that there is no God. Well, now that's a vain thought, if there ever was one. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, but a lot of people that won't say there is no God think that God's way off out there somewhere and He doesn't really matter. You know, one of the songs that we have lately is God is watching us. Beautiful little song, God's watching us from a distance. And you listen to the words of that song and how, oh, everything looks so nice and wonderful from a distance. But God's way out there. And the gist of that song is, He doesn't see all the real things we're doing and how we're really living. He's just way off in the distance. And that's the way a lot of people would like to keep God off in a distance. And it's in the vanity of their mind that they do that. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul talked about those in that culture that did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We see that today, don't we? You have a public display of God. Man, that's one of the first ways to get drug into the courts and say, we've got to get those Ten Commandments out of sight. The children might see those things. You know, we've got to take the name of God off of things and hide God from public view. We don't like to be reminded of God. And thinking by dismissing God that they're not going to be accountable to God, well, that is in the vanity of their mind. And our culture has had that for a generation. Remember John Lennon's song? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. And then singing as though this would be a better thing. Well, in the vanity of their thoughts, do the other Gentiles walk trying to dismiss God or minimize God or make God not important? What about this postmodernism time we're dealing in? The subjectivism and the relativism of postmodernism, where there's no absolute truth and there are no standards and there is no moral authority, and even if there was, we couldn't know what it was, and therefore everyone's to live according to their own standards. Just set their own standards and look within and see what it is you would like to be and then be that. That we all become our own gods and set all that for ourselves. In the vanity of our minds do we do this. That is really the prevailing thought today. In fact, one of our politicians, and I'm not going to name who he is, but you can watch this and hear for yourself, and I don't endorse or not any particular politician from the pulpit. I'm going to teach the Bible, but I use this because it's part of our culture and it explains things. One of our politicians was asked about sin, and he said, well, sin is not living in harmony with my own principles. Well, their own principles? Is that what sin is? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 4 that sin is a transgression of the law. And that law is not dependent on your own principles. It's an objective standard, not a subjective standard. People like this idea that somehow we can just find our own way and do our own thing as long as it's good for us. In the vanity of their minds, they're walking. What do people live for? Well, in Paul's day, there were people that thought the essence of life was pleasure. Now, they were called the Epicureans. And in the teachings of Epicurus, here's what he said. We call pleasure the Alpha and Omega of a blessed life. Pleasure is our first and kindred good. It's the starting point of every choice and every aversion, and to it we come back inasmuch as we make feeling the rule by which to judge every good thing. The modern term for this is hedonism. living a life that is for pleasure. It's that idea, if it feels good, do it. Well, in the vanity of your mind, materialism is the plague that we live under. It's a plague that comes to us partly because of the abundance of material blessings we have. You don't know who the rich folks in the world are? It's us. We've got it. We are blessed with an abundance of riches. And it's like drinking salt water, isn't it? I mean, you get a little money laid up, and boy, it just makes you thirsty for more, and you got to have a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and we're driven and driven and driven for more and more and more material things. And here we are already, among the most blessed materially that has ever lived on this world. And we're struggling over how to obtain more, how to obtain more. Materialism doesn't satisfy. That was the doctrine of the fool in Luke chapter 12, 16 through 20. I'll tear down my barns and build greater and say, eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're not going to have satisfaction in material things. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. They that are minded to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And every one that thinks, if I can only make a little more money, if I could just get a little bit further ahead, if I had a little more, everything would be all right. And it won't be. No matter how much you get, everyone, no matter how much they always think they need a little more. And you'll just never catch that thing. And if you think the essence of life is to die with all the toys and material things, you're going to find it like Solomon said when he comes to look at his death. Vanity. Vanity is all is vanity. It does not bring the satisfaction and comfort and joy that we hope for. So we're not to walk like that. Sometimes we use this expression, in your dreams. You ever heard that? Someone says something, you say, in your dreams. Paul says, in the vanity of your mind, let us do evil that good may come. In the vanity of your mind, let us sin that grace may abound. In the vanity of your mind, we're not going to be able to change things externally that God has set in place just by thinking differently about them. God's truth stays the same. And what we need to do is get our thinking in line with what God has said and have substance in our mind, not the vanity of our mind. So these things will disappoint. And you know what happens? I wish more of you had seen that Ben Stein movie than did. Now, it's going to come out in DVD or something. Maybe you can see it then. I hope you do. Because he explores the philosophies of men that take God out of the picture and what happens and the consequences of that. It makes a difference what we believe. These people that have done this, you look at them. In the worldly sense, they appear successful, but they're not very happy and they're miserable. They've been chasing after the wind and the wrong things. And then it goes on to say here in Ephesians 4, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, being past feeling. The first time you sin, it'll probably bother you. It feels bad. Just stay with it. You'll get over it. It'll get to where your conscience can be seared with a hot iron, and that little sin that you committed that bothered you so bad won't seem so bad. And you'll be past feeling. When we see some of the cruel things that people do to others and the stealing from others and the taking of each other's lives and the things that people do to harm others, how can they do that? It's because sin has so entered their minds, and their minds have become so corrupt and reprobate that now their past feeling doesn't bother them. When I see some of the crimes that I hear committed that just seem unbelievable and how people could do this, it's because of their past feeling. They're living in the vanity of their mind. When a woman says, I have a right to my own body and therefore I'm going to kill my unborn child, she has passed feeling. When a man says, I can take this woman who I promised I'd be faithful husband and I can dismiss her and go after another woman, and the hurt that that causes his family and that woman and his children and his parents and all those about, how do they do something like that? Their past feeling and their living in the vanity of their mind. And doing that, what happens? Here it is. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know what greediness is? It's when you're going to look out for number one. That's when you think the essence of your life is to please yourself and find your own fulfillment. It's the opposite of love. Looking outward toward others and living a life of sacrifice to others. Thinking that if I put myself first, I'll take care of myself and I'll be satisfied and happy. And it never happens. And true joy comes in emptying your life and giving that life as a life of service and benefit toward others. So when we see children born out of wedlock and abortions and homosexual pride and lasciviousness and uncleanness with greediness, we're seeing exactly what Paul was talking about in these passages of people walking in the vanity of their mind. Here's the difference. You haven't learned this from Christ. Look at that verse 20. But you did not so learn Christ. Did you learn lasciviousness from Christ? Would you learn uncleanness from Christ? Is there any greediness in Christ? We're going to return following this meeting and times we've done preparing for that meeting. We're going to turn to lessons from Matthew on the life of Christ. I want you to know that those lessons are given so that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We'll start studying His miracles and how they provide that evidence for that. But as we do that, don't forget what Peter said, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. We can learn from Christ and see how Christ valued things and see how Christ lived His life and see what was significant in the life of Christ. And those are the things that have become significant in our lives. A model and a pattern on how to live in Christ. You didn't learn these awful things from Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which waxeth corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It grows corrupt. But you choose sin and you follow sin and your life grows corrupt because it's deceived by these lusts. And so put off that man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see the difference? If we want to live right, we first get our thinking right. As we're reminded of Psalm 119 and verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." What do you think about? What's on your mind during the day? Let it be the law of God. Become a daily Bible reader, where this Bible is your companion, and let it be your guidebook, and study these things, and then think about what you've read. Read with thought, and with the idea of, I'm going to carry this with me, and through the day, I'm going to have it to refer to, and I'm going to know what it says, and the things that I read, I'm going to think on those things. I know this. One of the things that has driven me to want to be a Bible teacher, and now to stand here and preach, is the fact that I want God's Word on my mind. I know when I've got a Bible subject, I'm already looking forward to lessons I'm going to be bringing in the future, and they're already on my mind, and they stay on my mind through the day, and it's just a good prop for me to help me engage in Bible study, because that's what I need to have on my mind. And that's what you need to do. Make time in your life to be a student of God's Word. Let your children grow up seeing you holding that Bible and then living what you read and what you live. And let it just be part of your life. Let those things be on your mind and not the things that this world would teach. And so put on that new man. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Isn't that beautiful? You're created that way after God. There's another passage, Colossians 3:10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. After God, we're created. We're made after God. Means we're made in the image of God. God didn't make us to be evil. He didn't make us to be lascivious and greedy. God made us to be righteous. He made us to be good. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, which says in verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Jesus Christ unto good works. God made you to be good. And you're going to have that joy and blessedness in your life when you are good, because that's what God's made you for. He didn't make you for all these evil things. And so in righteousness and true holiness, that word in the King James translated true holiness, those words could be translated the holiness of truth. And holiness has to do with that which is separate and set apart. You want to live just like the crowd? You want to follow the broad way where many which be and go in there at? And the way that leads to destruction? That's the easy way to go. But you can be separate from that and set apart from that, holy from that, by truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so we can change, and we know how to change. And this book will teach us that way to live and how to think so that we can live just that way.